It is 80 degrees. It is 11:30 a.m. and you are back with us.
Yeah, you are. That was crazy.
You're hanging out.
No, I honestly loved it because first of all, great radio voice. Loved it. Also, it was so funny that you started with "Hello." Is this thing on?
It was giving like "Hello?" Willie Nelson, like
smoke hour.
Hello. I feel like that's how he starts. He also kind of starts like he's confused.
I love that.
Buddy the Elf. What's your favorite color? What is your guys' favorite color?
Pink doesn't count.
I think loving pink recently.
You need to direct that towards yourself.
Well, because it's such a good color, it's like, it doesn't count. Like, what's your favorite color besides pink? We already know pink is OP.
Okay. Well, I think you need to start then, because you're Mr. Pink.
Dark green.
Okay.
And you know
yeah,
what?
Absolutely.
I've been getting really into dark green and pink.
Come on, Wicked. Come on, Wicked.
You wanna be me so bad. No, it's the Wicked
you.
Propaganda. Yeah.
I was gonna text you and be like, Thomas, I am so sorry. I know you've liked these colors for years, but I'm just hopping on the bandwagon. But I also love all the colors. I love
so
yellow
true.
And orange and blue and green and pink.
Someone else brought up that like they just had a eureka moment that they're like, all colors are really nice. You just have to find the right shade.
Oh, that's so true. I was just thinking, I've been on this one for a while, but I love a good like reddish orange, you know?
Corally.
Yeah, but that one has a little more pink in that.
Yeah,
I like it. Yeah, which I do like that too. You know, that's like my good summer color, but I also like just a good, you know, a nice reddy orange.
Yeah. Awesome. Good talk. So we'll see you guys.
A butternut squash orange.
All right. Bye, guys. Love you.
Sorry.
No, I'm just kidding.
Guava.
Oh.
Everyone name a fruit
guavas
that you would name a color.
Orange.
Except for orange.
Blueberry.
That's creative.
Okay. Starfruit.
Peachy. I like the color peach and the fruit peach.
I like the fruit nectarine.
Nectarine
is better than a fruit in my book. I'm writing a book.
Nectarine is better than a fruit? That's what you said.
Oh. Nectarine is better than a peach.
Uh-huh. Okay.
In my book.
I think I agree. I love a nectarine.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know what else is really good? Like a white plum. You've never had a good one then. That's all I've
Maybe.
Said. Yeah. Because when they're good, they're good.
I've been watching a lot of people try to recreate the Bretman Rock mango, cutting it in half and like twisting it off and eating it with a spoon. I've been watching a lot of people fail at it too.
Uh-huh, I bet you have.
Yeah, it just gets messy. The point is to not make it be messy.
Okay.
But you can like twist off the mango.
Okay. I believe that.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah. I believe that that's happened.
Okay. So here's an update in my life.
Okay. Go, Rose.
I don't have any updates.
It's July 2nd. So I've been swimming a lot.
That's true.
I've been swimming every day, getting my swim on. I've been reading a lot. I've been working a lot.
The other two weren't updates.
Drinking a lot of water.
The first thing that you said was an update.
That it's July 2nd.
You went swimming a lot.
Yeah. And we've been joining her for that.
You guys just recently started joining me, though. But
yeah, but
I've
like
been swimming.
But like, I feel like every day or every other day, I'm like, "Bye, mom and dad." I'm
for the past
to
2 days.
Yeah.
No, it's been more than that.
This week.
No, that's fair. You did come over for book club and stuff.
Yeah.
But
and before
didn't.
That too, with Holly.
True.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Thank you.
I take it back.
Thank you.
Thomas hasn't been joining. Mm-hmm.
There we go. Mm-hmm.
But now she is.
But I'm the first one there and the last one to leave.
It's true. Thomas has said their whole life that they don't
know
how to
swim.
Not
the other day.
Thomas knows how to swim just fine. Thomas is a little otter in the water.
It's true.
Yeah, I think I like.
You know what Thomas is above all else? Thomas is a liar.
Yeah.
Consistent. Ain't that the truth? Yeah.
Consistently a liar. I think I feel like I grew like maybe 3 centimeters and it helped a lot. Made a difference
when?
In the water.
Longer limbs.
Yeah.
More to work with. Uh-huh. No, but Thomas is like doing laps back and forth.
Period.
And so.
And we played mermaids.
Sadie.
Mermaids the other day.
Sadie. Sadie does not been jumping in the pool though.
Which is helpful for my for my swim growth.
Exactly. Also, today is 1 year of me and Austin having our cats.
Yeah.
So today is our kitties gotcha day, which is so cute. And I gave
Boom,
them some
gotcha.
Little tweets this morning. And they're just little baby cats. And I love them. And yesterday, Ben has not been coming in our room. Like, for some reason, like, whenever we open the door, Ben will just, like, meow in the hallway. And I'm like, the door's open. But, like, we just meow back and forth to each other. But I'm like, you're actually allowed in here. Like, it's
Pick
fine.
Him up.
So, yesterday, he came in our room and laid on my chest and just, like, snuggled with me. And it made me feel so, I was like, oh, my
he
God.
Knew.
God. Yeah. Bennett likes me. Yeah. Bennett likes mom. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Cute. I love that for you.
Thanks.
Are the other cats still available?
No.
Gone.
Gone. They were gone. Like,
gone in the wind.
A few weeks ago.
Mm. Good for them, though.
Mm-hmm. Me and Rose are still on the train of trying to get Thomas an animal of some kind.
Yeah, I'm going to ask my coworker. She posted that there's like corgi mixes trying to find a home.
Oh my God, you're going to get a corgi?
A corgi mix.
Mix.
I know someone who has a corgi.
I know someone who has a corgi.
Mm-hmm.
It's you.
Very
it's Thomas.
Not me.
You in the
Wait,
future.
I am picture the corgi. Of the corgi mix. Do you have
she
it?
She posted on her story.
You didn't take a screenshot?
No.
You want to adopt one and you didn't take a screenshot?
They were beautiful. Oh. That's all I knew.
Wait, DM her and ask for another picture.
Okay. She's going to be like, they're not available. That was 4 months ago.
I was going to say, corgis are like so popular.
They are, they're and they're demand. Beautiful, but I don't know if they have any medical needs that are because of breeding.
I feel like all dogs kind of surely, do because they're surely. All, you know, bred that way. But I was going to say, I feel like having a dog is like more commitment than having like a cat in different ways. Maybe they're both a commitment, but just in different ways. And I feel like I see, no, you should have a pet no matter what. Don't listen to me. But what I was going to say was, I feel like if you have a cat, they just kind of do their own thing and you just kind of, you know, clean their litter box and give them some food. But for dogs, it's like you have to give them attention and you have to like take them on walks because you, you know, live in a small place.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Not to discourage you because you should get an animal.
For a while, I was like, I can't get an animal and keep them in my house. Like, they want to go out and do stuff. But then I was like, no, they kind of just also want to chill like me.
It's true.
They also just want to have an easy life.
Yeah.
They just want to be fed and be petted.
Mm-hmm. Just like me, for real.
Yeah. Well, and also, I feel like you've been good about going on walks and stuff by yourself.
I do. I love going on hikes.
And you have a park a block away from your house.
I love going to that park.
So if you got love skateboarding a puppy and were able to like, socialize it and stuff, you'd totally be able to do that.
Oh, that is a dog park right next to my house,
It is a dog
park. You also have a roommate, too. So if you had like a long shift, she would be like, hey, I'm going to let the dog out.
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I'm fine with whatever. I also think whatever you get, you'll step up to the plate.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's the thing, too, is I feel like once...
Wait, are you going to go by dad or mom?
Or guardian?
Gunkle. No, I don't like that term. I'm a funkle. But I would rather maybe just get a job with animals, and then I don't have to, like... share
so Thomas is either going to adopt a dog next week or maybe go back to school for zoology.
Yeah.
He hasn't decided yet.
One or the other, though.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, my God, the baby.
The baby.
Dua Lipa with the baby.
Explain that to George Washington.
We brought our little sunny angels to work today. It's bring your sunny angel to work day.
I didn't bring any of mine. They're all safe at home.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
Well,
mine are also safe at home. We're in my house.
I always keep one in my bag at all times.
Rose, and keep today, that thing on her.
I do. I keep one just for comfort, just for fun's sake. Because I want to be interesting and have a sunny angel in my bag. And then I just grabbed these two on the way out the door because I was like, fun. Bring babies to work today.
Waiting for someone to be like, does anyone have a sunny angel in their purse?
Yeah.
Does anybody have the zebra sunny angel in their purse and is willing to share it?
Yeah.
And I would say yes.
Is there a doctor on the plane? No, but get this.
Do you guys have anything interesting to share?
Honestly,
see, this is why I wanted to write stuff down, and you guys laughed at me.
Well, the thing is, I've only been like keeping up with political stuff recently, so I feel like that's not fun or entertaining. But it's a new election cycle.
It is a new election cycle.
There was just a presidential debate.
Yes, there was.
That went poorly.
Someone brought up to me, they were like, yeah, like at this point, like, you know what? Bring back Donald Trump. And I, like, had a shock of, like, oh, my God, why would you say that? But then I was like, is Biden doing anything for Democrats?
Here's what I have to say.
Is he, if anything, making it worse and making it so that we can't get another...
Yes.
Yes, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
He is standing in the way of any other...
Of democracy just as much as Donald Trump is.
Yeah. Well, also because, like, let's talk about this, actually, because I think that...
Certainly, I wouldn't want to.
No, yeah, it's like, okay, let's see. How do I, like, start this? Anyway, so not one single bone in my body wants Donald Trump to be in office. But also, not one single bit of me wants Joe Biden to be in office. Because he's also done things.
I wish they both could be president.
Well, people, yeah.
I actually, you can leave.
Yeah.
We should all win.
No, make them so make them work together.
Yeah, make them work together. Because like,
but there is a lot of now pressure on Biden to drop out of the race.
Yeah,
which from the Democratic Party was a lot of like, no, like he's doing really good, you guys.
Yeah, and no, it's crazy because you guys, I feel like
behind the scenes he's really smart and like active.
Yeah, I don't even care about that. I care about like what has been going on since he's been president, and you know it's not good.
Well, that
like,
didn't stop them before. So
yeah, well that's the thing.
Looking
is that, like,
weak on national TV is gonna get them to change their presidential vote. I mean, candidate.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, yeah, that's the thing, is something that, like, my family's talking about is that, like, the debate is kind of for people who don't know what they're doing yet. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people already know what they're going to do. So, correct. I feel like that kind of stuff is for people who are undecided. So, that's, you know, not, that's whatever. But I also just think that the way that there has been so much in the Trump administration that makes me, that administration has just been so disastrous. It's not like this administration has been much better.
Yeah.
Like, let's, like, if we're going to look just in the last, you know, 6 months, like, the absolute travesty that has been going on in Gaza and in Palestine is all enabled and funded by Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what, why was he supposed to be better?
Yeah.
You know, like, what was the point of, you know?
Yeah.
What was the point of that?
He doesn't lie. But he's been very honest about his anti...
Yeah. Oh, no. He's... Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And the problem is that, like, now it's hard to be the kind of, like, oh, like...
Last election felt more serious because I think I had an idea that there was more leverage on either side.
I had more hope for what Joe Biden was going to be as a president.
Yeah. But this election, it's more serious and I'm almost less...
It is true.
Caring about it because it's like,
well,
it's,
also like,
this cycle is such a joke.
Yes. Well, it also comes back to just memes. Like the two-party system, to be honest, because I think that's like the root of so much issue in our system is that nobody who's not a Democrat or a Republican has a chance in hell of doing anything, which sucks because it's like there might be some candidates out there that I would be interested in, that I would support, that would do things that I want them to do. And they just not a snowball's chance. You know what I mean? And that sucks because now it's we have two sides of the same right coin. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they're all our options are terrible.
My eyes were open to the idea that like, well, the Republicans work off of fear. They do their thing. They, you know, appeal to the higher class to get them to vote on policies that are going to be discriminatory and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it's a very active campaign. Whereas Democrats, it's just like, oh, you don't like them, so vote for us. You know what I mean?
There's a lot of, like...
defensive voting.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's also like, oh, they're just doing the bare minimum and not really, you know, allowing Democrats to see, oh, yeah, you already know they're crazy. Like, look at them. They're going to ruin themselves. And so we don't really need to make a change or actually make, you know...
Yeah.
We're just going with the most viral, you know, contender, which is Biden. Everyone knows Biden. He was already vice president once.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, the other crazy part, too, is that, like, our... system is so skewed right, like compared to so many other countries and so many other systems in the world. If you look at it, it's like, yeah, Biden is actually a Republican.
Well,
like, if you look at it,
the reason
not be that
is
in,
because
in name, but it's just so
the
skewed
DNC,
right.
The committee is so hell-bent on not doing anything and just letting the Republicans ruin it for themselves. They're not actually trying to do anything besides like...
And it's like, you're just letting them dig us into a hole that we can't get out of at this point. You know what I mean?
Because they agree.
Yes, exactly.
Because
exactly,
they're on the same team.
And they want to be in that hole, actually. Yeah. They are funding the hole. They are, they're sending emails for the hole. Like, they are wanting that to happen. So I do think that's true. And I also think that, like, anything that Democrats are, like, you know, talking about and being like, oh my god, well this is so terrible that they're doing that, so vote for us. It's all like, you guys would do that too, you just wouldn't be as loud about it. And you
all
guys would do
to
that
say...
too, you would just have a better PR for it. It's like, there's a lot of stuff that wouldn't
all
change.
This to say, it's really easy to go mad and really easy to
absolutely,
go crazy thinking
absolutely.
About it.
Absolutely, and that's why it's frustrating.
But with this election cycle, I'm actually really excited. I love watching it, and I get, like, addicted to it. It's addicting just with any other doom scrolling and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I'm, I, like, want to see where it goes. It's like a TV show, as bad as that sounds.
I know. And you know what? I understand, but I also do have to say that's terrible, Thomas.
100%. And then with the Supreme Court ruling that that Trump has immunity for official acts.
That Everyone's wasn't saying, official, was it? I think that was just their...
Well... Well...
Let me look it up. I thought that was something that they were.
I think still it's just discussing. Moving on to the next step, which is what's an official act.
Have you guys heard?
But I think that that was like they decided that that is correct, and a lot of people are being like, the Supreme Court's actually winking at Biden and being like, hey. Kill him. You have immunity. You have immunity.
That's so insane.
He's a national threat.
Okay, it does.
Assassinate him.
It does rule.
Yeah.
Okay, the justices in a 6-3 ruling authored by Chief Justice John Roberts threw out a lower court's decision that had rejected Trump's claim of immunity. Okay, so... okay, so they just threw out another court's decision that said no immunity. So they didn't, like... Okay.
So now they're just looking at what counts as official acts before they can move on with Trump's trial.
Okay,
the problem is that it's immediate, is that he is currently on trial for stuff. So it's like, what can he do?
Yeah. I just need them all to go to jail, actually. I need everybody to rot in a prison hospice cell because they're all ancient.
Yeah.
Can I go?
Yeah, grim. This is going to be grim 4th of July. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Have you guys heard of Project 2025?
Yes, thank you for saying that.
Have you?
No.
Okay. I literally just heard about this on TikTok as I was like waiting for Thomas to pick me up. So I'm like new to it, but I just looked up a brief overview. But basically, it's the plan, the like Republican Party plan of what's going to happen should Trump get elected in November. Okay.
Okay.
So it's a 920-page document.
Okay. Okay. Never mind. I actually have heard of this. Yeah. But tell me, give me all the details.
Yeah. That outlines exactly what the next Trump presidency would look like. It doesn't just include policy proposals like immigration actions, educational proposals, and economic plans, but rather a portrait of the America that the conservatives hope to implement in the next Republican administration, be it Trump or someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a bunch of things. The four fronts include, this is like the four, whatever, I guess I'm just finding this
right
now.
They're four tenets, yeah.
Yeah. Number one, restore the family as the centerpiece of American life and protect our children.
So true. So true, Bestie.
No, for sure.
Dismantle the administrative state and return self-governance to the American people.
Yeah, sure.
They don't really want that.
Do you know what that means, though? Do you know what that means, though? Like, look at abortions, how they're trying to bring it to the states and being like, no, well, if each state votes, then it's coming from the people.
Yeah.
And so instead of it being between a woman and a doctor,
yes.
The situation that it should be, they're saying like, oh, no, we're returning it to the people by letting the states be involved and letting the states choose.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that that's exactly what's going to happen. The states are going to choose. You can't do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number three, defend our nation's sovereignty, borders, and bounty against global threats. Secure, and number four, secure our God-given individual rights to live freely, what our Constitution calls the blessings of liberty.
Yeah, it's just so crazy because, like, they don't really want that.
Mm-mm. They don't really want that.
They're just wording it in a really pretty way so that they can get there.
Well, they're also doing it in literally the most vague way possible.
Oh, absolutely.
But if you, the whole
document.
They want
to give themselves as much leeway as possible to do whatever they want.
But the whole document is apparently on Trump's website.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I've heard that a lot of people who were considering voting for Trump or people who were traditionally Republican are reading the document and getting really scared.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good.
Because of what I know.
Be.
I think good, too. But also that means we literally
so
need to get the word out.
The first one was about a family, right?
Yeah, it's like restoring the family and protecting children.
Anti-LGBT.
Yeah, absolutely.
The second 100%. One was...
Anti-women.
No, when they
anti-women.
Yeah.
What was the third one again?
No, anti-immigration.
Anti-immigration, you're right.
Okay. What's the last one?
And then individual rights. So
okay, whatever.
I guess pro-capitalism.
Yeah, period. No, because as soon as they said protecting the children, I'm like, oh my God, they're coming for drag story time.
Yeah.
They're coming for RuPaul.
Well, and also family
RuPaul
at
himself.
The centerpiece.
RuPaul.
I'm like, yes. So, okay, so you hate everyone.
Yeah. No, literally. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not allowed to have friends anymore.
Yeah.
No, traditional values. Yeah. And I think that I realized that like a lot of my toxic, like, I'm always trying to be open-minded and look at both sides, but it's like a tactic that people use against me to be like, well, you have to understand that they grew up in a different time, and so I'm always being so like open-minded on both sides.
Yep.
That a part of me is getting like tired and I'm breaking open and being like, that I am just gonna say what I feel.
And that's my
why
it,
am
that
I
was
always trying
totally
to
my inclination when I feel like I was first starting to become like conscious of like politics and like public policy and like anything like that. My first inclination was that I was like, okay, well, like I do want to know like why people are saying what they're saying, and I feel like I have learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But also through that, I've also been like some points of view aren't valid. Yeah. Sometimes people are stupid, and sometimes people are actually just hateful. Yeah. And sometimes they don't have a basis in any kind of reality.
And it
for
worries
what they want
me
to be policy.
Because when I see other people doing that, when I see the other side doing that, and the like radical version of that looks crazy, mm-hmm. and so I'm always like, well, I don't want to be the person who's like saying stuff that like everyone around me. You know,
yeah.
Like, why would you say something so crazy and controversial?
And that's like,
but
totally valid.
With that being said,
yeah.
What does the radical left look like?
Yeah. Well, also something that I like read in high school that has still always stuck with me is like the idea that like you like the paradox of you can't tolerate intolerance mm-hmm. because as soon as it's like, oh, well, let's just hear them out and like, you know, hear what they have to say. It's like they are going to take that and run all over you because mm-hmm. you're. Tolerating it, mm-hmm. you know? And so it's like the idea of tolerance actually can't be universal and
there's
it can't apply to everything.
Room for error on the left side when the right side is being so destructive.
But yeah, I basically just think that, you know, I actually think I should be in charge and everyone should listen to me.
Yeah.
The world would be a much better place if
thank
you.
Yeah, no, I just, yeah, I think
but
that's
I don't
want to
get lost
in
my own delusions. But yeah. Oh, but I was going to say that I do think that we are at least educated and researched and knowledge enough to like be able to speak in a way that's
absolutely
not apologetic.
Yes. Yeah. And I also think that like especially I think a lot of people like our age too are or you know younger than us are you know cowed by the fact that like, oh, I'm young and like, you know, I only have this much experience or like I haven't had an education in this, so like I may not know. No, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know mm-hmm. in your heart of hearts like what you feel and what you believe and all that kind of stuff. And so I think it's important to stick to that. And
not let the people around you dictate kind of like
yes.
just cuz you're scared of what they're going to think
yes.
of you.
And also like if someone is I feel like it's something that I see a lot especially on the internet is like people get pulled into these like rhetorical debates about mm-hmm. stuff that ends
that drives
up being,
me crazy.
It drives me insane mm-hmm. actually and like especially because it's never actually about the concepts or the subjects that you're trying to talk about. It always ends up just being a rhetorical debate about, mm-hmm. like, the devices that you're using to make mm-hmm. your argument. And mm-hmm. it always becomes about
and
how
always,
you argue your point and not what your point
yeah,
actually is.
And it always comes back to the same three devices.
Semantics.
Yeah.
Yeah. It always comes back to the same thing. You're just repeating what somebody else said. I'm like, this isn't a new argument.
That too.
You're not actually trying to persuade anybody. You're trying to, like look cool.
Yeah.
You're trying to look like
and
you know what you're talking
such
about.
Such a pinnacle of debate and politics, like looking at the presidential mm-hmm. debate,
yeah.
it's
like it's about how you
that's
look, not
the
what
game
you know.
They're playing. That's
it's true.
You have to
and
learn
they both
the game
suck
before.
At it too. Yeah. they are bad at the debate and the real debate.
Yeah, I know everyone being like Trump won, but also like he
did
didn't
he?
Do great.
No, he did not.
Biden did so much worse, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
But like both of them were very bad.
No,
neither side really won.
No, exactly. I'm like,
and we're not gonna win.
Yeah.
And no one's gonna win.
And
no one's gonna win.
But another thing that I thought was, like, very fascinating, going back to, like, you know, trying to see, like, you know, both sides of it, whatever, quote-unquote both sides, is that, like, I feel like once you, like, get down to it, people don't really want what they think they want sometimes. Mm. And I'll go into detail because that didn't make sense. But I remember there was this, like, I took this class and it was, like, philosophy of climate change is, like, basically. It was, like, political philosophy, kind of. And one of the things we talked about is how there's a lot of people who just deny climate change, who don't believe that it's happening and, you know, don't want to believe that it's happening. And sometimes that can line up with, you know, people who are Republican or people who, are more right leaning, whatever. Right. And for things like that, you have to meet them where they're at and find things that are important to them and how that will be affected by mm-hmm. the issue that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Because, like, let's say you're, you know, a blue-collar worker. You work on a farm. You are absolutely going to be impacted by climate change.
Yes.
Because weather is going to be insane. Mm-hmm. Heat is going to rise. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to have more intense storm cycles. All of those things are going to affect someone who's a farmer who mm-hmm. literally works with the land in that way. So you have to meet them where they're at and say, have you noticed this in the past few years? Like, what has your crop been like? What has this been like? And then they say, oh, yeah, it's been pretty bad. And then you say,
there you go.
Exactly. If you're talking to someone who's a fisherman, girl, the way that is going to be a disaster and already is a disaster, like insane. Or someone who lives in a coastal area, you are not going to be living in a coastal area pretty soon. You're going to be underwater. Like, there's just a lot of things like that where you can, because it's going to affect everybody and it already is affecting people. We have climate refugees everywhere. But you have to meet them where they're at and find things that they have already been impacted by or will be, because then that makes it real and it shows you how maybe people aren't serving your best interest that you are voting for in office.
You're using their niche to educate them. Exactly. Which is really important.
It's very important because you can't just come at it and be like, oh my God, well, you know, like the polar bears are dying. They're like, I have never seen a polar bear in my life, and what does it have to do with me?
Exactly.
And so it's like, you have to kind of meet them where they're at, and that will extend to other things too. And there's a lot of other issues like that as well. Like, how many people have you heard stories about where, like, their dear friend or their girlfriend had to go get an abortion and it changed their mind on, oh, I get it. Mm-hmm. Or even worse, I have read so many stories about women who are adamantly, staunchly pro-life, and then it happens to them and they need to go get an abortion and they get it.
Yeah.
And they go get it and then they still tell their doctor, you're a murderer.
Yeah.
Because it's all about them.
Yeah.
And it's all about, it's not about what's right for them. It's about what they feel like other people should be beholden to.
Yeah.
You know?
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
And back to that, like, I'm excited for this election cycle. It is crazy because it's ridiculous, but I go into it so deeply because I want to know everything that's happening. I want to know what everyone's saying about it, and I want to understand the bigger picture and the,
it's very important to be informed.
The impact
sure.
and, like, where it came from to the history of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, none of this happened in a vacuum.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
It's the thing that Kamala Harris said. Do you know what I'm
You didn't
about?
Fall out of a coconut tree?
Yeah.
Everything no,
in your
she's,
life is from the context in which you came from.
She's insane, but that was a bar.
No, everything. 100%.
And the way she said it, the delivery was actually crazy,
too.
It you
think really
you
is.
Fell out of a coconut tree?
Such a meme. And the Democratic Party, too, by the way, is stressed because Kamala helped Biden win the election, but no one wants her to be the president.
No.
And so a lot of people are like, even if we don't want Biden... We don't want Kamala.
It's the crazy thing. We don't want any of them.
Right now,
actually,
they're saying...
Wipe them out and let's start fresh.
I don't know if there's any legitimacy in this one, but Hillary Clinton's one that everyone's like, she could come back and, like, finish what she started. Other people are saying Gavin Newsom is, like, being very giddy about it.
That. I remember somebody... what was I watching? I was watching NewsHour, and they were saying that Kamala Pete Buttigieg, thank you.
Pete Davidson,
and Gavin Newsom are all the front runners for who could be another Democratic candidate.
I like Gavin Newsom.
I do personally.
Yeah. Okay.
He has a lot of, like, he's made mistakes as much as anyone, but he's also been a forefront fighting for a lot of.
There is absolutely no politician that I'm going to say, I think you're great and perfect on every count, and I actually love you, and you're my
There's
celebrity
flaws
crush.
Everywhere, but.
I'm gonna
and you're
say,
still my celebrity crush? Thomas is like, speak for yourself.
No, I'm going to say, you're not my celebrity crush. Like, none of this applies to you. But
me and Gavin Newsom,
but I will
like
say, but I will say, there are things that I. Like respect about him and that I do like that I would choose over other people.
Oh,
yeah.
Agree.
Right
now,
I
feel like everything that I can say about
a
politician
that
absolutely.
Is fighting
that
for
is
liberal
in the
rights
net positive,
more than other
net
people.
Positive
exactly. And
for
also,
me personally.
I think let's not move Gavin Newsom until he's done here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's get him on.
Let him finish. Let him wrap this up.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm like, in 4 years.
That's tea.
That's tea.
Let him get prepared. Let him.
2 years. Let's have him drop.
Listen.
How does that even work? How do they get out of governor office?
Resign?
Resign? Or is it not like terms? Like,
yeah,
they're
somewhere finish
probably
out your term.
Ready to take a spot, though. Like,
okay,
they
cool.
Have
like,
yeah,
let's get
there's
2 more years
of,
here, get some more stuff done in California, then let's start the election campaign.
Period.
Mm-hmm. Gavin, you have my vote.
No, honestly, me
Let
too.
Him know.
At this point.
And you are my celebrity.
And you're also my celebrity crush. But more importantly, my celebrity crush.
But more
crush.
Importantly... You are my candidate and my celebrity
queen.
And my queen.
Does he live in Northern California?
I think maybe closer to Sacramento.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's
very probable since that's where stuff happens.
Really good point.
I believe so.
Really
no, yeah, you
smart.
Guys got that. Yeah, you ate that.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I think that no matter who gets elected, they're going to die in a few months anyway. Like,
true,
they're
all
fossils.
With that being said, I did look up, but how long does Joe Biden really have?
You looked up Joe Biden life expectancy.
Yeah, literally. And there are research and like studies or articles or whatever about it.
Yeah.
He's going to make it to like 90-ish probably because he's just wealthy and has...
How old
absolutely!
And has good health.
You're right,
care.
He has access to all of that.
Yeah.
That's why Mitch McConnell hasn't died yet.
Yeah.
Have you seen the man? That's a corpse being controlled by a robot.
Absolutely.
Like, the other thing I was going to mention about Project 25...
Yeah.
Is that... It's like funded. Like it's ready to go.
Yeah.
And it's funded.
It's locked and loaded.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like
absolutely.
So whenever there's a Republican in office, they're going to get this thing going.
That's what I was going to say. That's why it's so horrifying. It's not Trump's plan. It's the
GOP's
plan.
GOP's plan. And it's funded by a plan. Hold on, let me find it. It's called like the Heritage Foundation, and it is a nonprofit conservative policy action.
Like, they're conservative and they're also a nonprofit.
Nonprofit meaning they're not going to make money off of this. They're just all investing it back into the plan.
I mean, yes.
Plan.
But like, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, what does that even mean?
On the surface. Yeah. Well, we can go into that because I actually have so many thoughts
on
that.
The Heritage Fund's fair value of assets on March 31st, 2024 was $22.9 billion.
Are they?
Oh my God, girl.
Representing a year-over-year increase of $1.7 billion.
Oh, I want to
rip my
hair out.
The reason this is trending and it's like, yes, get the word out, talk about it. Taraji P. Henson just brought it up at a...
Oh, period, Taraji.
At an award show.
Yeah.
From an outsider's point of view, they'll be like, oh, it's funded by a nonprofit. Good.
Yep.
No, who's funding the nonprofit?
Exactly.
Yeah. Billionaires.
They're, yes.
That's what I was going to say.
No, I was like, can we actually move into this? Because I have a lot of thoughts.
I love that we locked in right now.
Yeah.
Because it's...
No, let's talk about billionaires.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be set and... verbalized like it's for the people,
yes.
And it's nonprofit, but it's really just rich people funneling
yes.
money into
yes.
a project.
Yeah, they're like,
to
okay,
take
so we're
away.
All donating to the Heritage
take
Foundation,
away
yeah.
rights
yeah.
from the people.
Yes, yep. Y'all know how like rich people used to be like patrons of the arts and like
yeah.
you know, all that kind of shit. That was
bring
just another.
That back.
Let's bring that back for one.
Yeah.
But also, that was how they used to like. You know, funnel their money into nonprofits to get tax breaks
mm-hmm.
and like do all their other
it's
shit,
all
right?
It's
so
all
this
tax
is the
breaks,
yeah.
yeah.
So
also
my next thing that I want to get into
yeah.
and start looking up because I saw someone bring this up is just straight up money laundering.
Yeah,
where money going into businesses that make no sense,
yep.
especially coming from like Republican, the capitalist sort of
mm-hmm.
money hungry
that
people
community.
Yes,
yes
absolutely insane.
No, and that's why this is just the new. And I say new, I use that term liberally, but like that's just their new thing of like how they're, you know, getting their tax breaks. And
mm-hmm.
because also it gives them more control over what's going on
mm-hmm.
because they get to put their money wherever they want. And art's just not so profitable,
mm-hmm.
I guess. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all about that. Because yeah, they say nonprofit. That does not mean,
doesn't mean
anything.
No.
Doesn't mean anything.
Nonprofit means different for billionaires than it does for smaller organizations.
Yeah. Well, it's also like, it's just the way that it's classified. So
yeah.
they can meet requirements to be a nonprofit.
Yeah.
And
doesn't
then
mean it's
it
good.
Just doesn't
yeah,
mean
exactly.
the same.
Just because it's a nonprofit does not mean it's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Does not mean it's for you, you know?
Okay, now
period.
Now I'm sad.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you feel a little smarter, though. I hope you're happy that you're talking about it.
Yeah. I think it's good. I think that's one of the most important things that we can do, to be honest. And this,
yeah.
I mean this completely.
And I started this conversation being like, ugh, I don't want to talk about politics.
No, and I was like, no, let's do it, though. I think one of the most important things that you can do is to at least be aware and be, you know, knowledgeable about what is going on around you and how people around you are going to be affected, how you are going to be affected,
yeah.
And, you know, how the world is going to feel.
Yeah, and
the
it does
repercussions
feel
of anything
grim,
happening
but
anywhere.
Also it's, like, just the situation that we're in and all you can do is... what you can do. So it's like vote, talk about
and
it.
Be informed,
yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And
be
I
informed,
think that's really important too. I just think that like
don't
the least you can do is still something. Yeah.
Stay headstrong.
Yeah.
And
it's
conversations
like,
are very important.
Conversations
like, I'm not
are very
saying
important.
Everybody needs to record it and upload it like we're going to.
Yeah.
But like make sure you're having important conversations with your circle as well.
Yeah.
Like they
even
always say
us.
Like traditionally the things that you shouldn't talk about with your friends is money,
religion and
politics
money.
And religion.
Yeah.
I think you should
yeah.
talk about all of those.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think if you're not having conversations about money, politics and religion with your close friends,
yeah,
like,
it's very important.
Bro, watch out for your friends.
Yes.
Well, and watch out for yourself too. You guys all need to make sure we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
100%.
And also
I
like talking
agree.
About money with your coworkers, making
yes.
sure that like women aren't
yes.
getting paid less
yes.
and vice versa and
100%.
Benefits and like it's just so important.
No, it's really crucial. And that's why that's like the, you know, this unspoken rule. Well, it's spoken also. But
the spoken
yeah,
and
no,
unspoken.
It's written in my like handbook
this,
at work.
Yeah, absolutely. Like this whole
fair.
Thing about like don't talk about money, politics or religion. It really is just and I'm going to get so conspiracy theorist, but it is just a way to keep you down, to 100%. Be honest. It's just a way to keep
yeah.
you down and keep you uninformed
it's
about what's going on around
thing.
You. It's a hush-hush thing because the system only works if you are a part of it.
Yup.
Period.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it's important to just know where you are in that machine because there are ways to not be a part of it. And also, if you are, I also want to say, like, it is built to keep you in here. You know what I mean? Like, we are all part of this, and it is created. That is by design. And so I feel like it's really easy to be like, oh my God, like, I'm doing all these things, and like, I'm contributing to this, and like, this and that, and the other thing. Sometimes it's unavoidable because it is by design that way. And also, what you can do does, like, is still valuable compared to the things that you aren't able to not contribute to. You know what I mean? Like, I just think there's so much we can do, and as long as you're trying and aware, it's okay.
I almost feel like the founding fathers weren't even this bad. And I know that's crazy because that
anything that what this would have been happening.
Were most of them still racist and probably absolutely destructive, terrible people?
They were absolutely terrible, but they didn't know what any of this technology was going to be able to do. They didn't know how that people
were going to harness all of this.
Yeah, they couldn't couldn't foresee any of this. Yeah. You were going to say something.
I was
going to
say,
well,
something that Austin and I go back and forth on a lot, and also something that I think, like you were talking about faith, there it's two sides to a coin. Like, we can do all that we can, but at the end of the day, this is where we live, and this is built to keep us here. Yeah,
and I don't want anyone to feel like that's hopeless. No, because, like, instead, we are built into go this, out and so any act of resistance is actually beautiful and important.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. So Austin always says, what you're gonna say? Sorry. You know, he always says there's no ethical consumption under capitalism.
Yeah.
Which I think, okay,
there's more and less, though.
I see your word game, silly boy. You know, but I also think I've
go out, have fun, do things for yourself, because in this world too many people are already trying to take it away, and also
as
stamp
much
you
as
down, stomp you down,
there's only so much you can do. There also, you also can do stuff. You also are making a difference.
Yes.
And also, I've heard people say, and I'm not sure how accurate it is just because of how much money corporations have, but she said that, you know, also, like, these corporations, all they care about is money, right? And they listen to consumers.
Yes.
So if we stop buying stuff, and if we stop going places, and if we stop, especially, like, for me, this comes a lot back to, like, the environment.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been getting really into, like, not using single-use plastics and keeping glass instead of plastic, and I have reusable bags. Like, that's what it comes back a lot to me, because I'm like, I'm tired of buying shampoo bottles.
Totally.
I need the bar shampoo.
Nice.
Like, I'm getting into, like, my eco-friendly, like, good. Let's, like, do this and do what's right for the earth, you know? But it can be, I mean, there's so many different ways we can go with that.
Yeah.
It can be an argument for a bunch of different stuff.
It's true. And I just think that's really important. Just, like, doing what you can is still, you know,
important. And also, what makes, honestly, what makes you personally feel like you're helping.
Yeah.
Because there's also stuff that you can't do.
It's important not to be hopeless.
Yeah.
It's really important not
to
be.
Do what you think you have the means to do in a way that makes you feel like you're contributing.
Yes.
Because I know damn well not everybody can afford nice glasses. Not everybody can afford to not eat off of paper plates. You know, and it's a privilege that I have to not be able to need single-use plastic.
I agree.
All the time. You know, like,
there's levels to it.
I'm just like,
it.
Do this and don't do this. Yeah. And do this and think about this and think that way and think this way.
No, but it's important because there's levels to it. It's very nuanced. My favorite freaking word, nuanced.
Mm-hmm. It is.
My I literally can't go three sentences without saying it's nuanced.
It's
there's
good,
levels
it's
to
one.
It. It's a really good one because it's true. I was going to say something that you said earlier, too, about having conversations and stuff like that. I wanted to bring that up, too, because I think when you were talking about privilege, that's another really important thing to think about, too, because sometimes privilege comes from, like, can you have these conversations or not, you know? Because sometimes, like,
there's
especially because, like,
so many variables.
There's so many variables, and also, like, the labor that it is to go through that with somebody who doesn't agree with you and who may actively
they don't agree with you or
they
don't agree
with
you them.
Yeah, or, like, you know, has an actively harmful belief that affects you directly. It's really hard to have those conversations when you are in that role, and so I think it's very important for people with more
privilege
with more privilege to do that work and have those conversations on behalf of people who can't do that, or who it's very taxing to do that work for, like,
or dangerous.
Or dangerous.
There are people
who
can't have these conversations because they would end up on the streets.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or
the people around them would.
They would not have a
abuse.
Support system.
It leads
if
to
they did.
Danger to
and
themselves.
And to people that are in those situations, we're not mad at you for not talking.
100%.
Let's say that, too.
Yeah.
Let's first and
I would
foremost
actually love for you to do
your
what's
safety.
Safety.
Yeah.
I would actually love for you to do what's important for you.
Safety and health.
Yeah.
So
yes.
Please don't go yell at your family if you can't.
If you can't. And I'm going to bring up, too, there was, like, one situation that
we're so good
you guys. But there was one conversation that I had, and that's, like, another thing that just made it, you know, hit it home even further for me, is that I remember there was this, I had a friend who ended up having to have a conversation with someone who was like not like overtly hatefully transphobic, but just did not understand, was very ignorant of the concept.
Yes.
And that resulted in them being, you know, dangerous and hateful towards around them. Yes. Because, you know, they just didn't know and they doubled down on not knowing. And so that ended up becoming, you know, harmful and dangerous. And my friend was the one who ended up having to have that conversation with them, who, and my friend is queer and non-binary and had to do that work with another person who was also queer. And having that be their burden to, like, teach that other person what was going on when it's coming from their own place of identity.
It doesn't need to be them.
It's just so difficult and it shouldn't need to be them.
Yeah. And also huge. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's like,
you shouldn't have had to do that. And also thank you for going out
your way. And like they did, like, in the context of it, I'll explain later, but they did have to do it. And so like there was no getting around it. But the fact that it did have to be them and no one else could step in those moments is very frustrating to witness and to know that that happens, because like, because
it does
happen. And for them it was like kind of best case scenario of how it all went down and everything, but it was just like, I'm so sorry that was labor that you had to do. Like, they weren't in like immediate danger necessarily, but it was like, I'm so sorry that you had to bear that weight for someone who doesn't understand,
who won't do the value themselves.
Of that. Yeah, exactly.
But so much of this, I think, not to add another branch of it, but like, no, come from the educational aspect of it and college systems.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
The idea, too, that if you don't go to college, you're an uneducated American.
Yeah, the public school system as well, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know about it, but
it rips, dude. Like, I think that's another thing that...
Well, public schools being funded by county to county.
Uh-huh.
But
yes.
To your point about like,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't know what's going on. But let's come back to mine and you say yours first.
Yeah.
What have happened anyway? No, I get you. Thank you for stepping in so that we know where to go next.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to do it sometimes.
But yeah, like, that's half the battle, because again, a lot of people just, you're not going to convince them. That's just how they're going to think, but a lot of people don't know and, like, genuinely are scared to talk about it for a myriad of reasons. And that's why we're not talking about it. And that's why people are ignorant.
And that's why I think
and
it's so
the
important.
Collegiate system making people think that because they don't go to college, you're uneducated, even if you want to do your research and whatever that side of it is.
Yeah.
There's so many still college educated people that are spewing lies and hatred and just choosing what they want to believe.
Absolutely.
So it's tough.
It is really tough. And that's why I also think, it's so important for people who are, you know, I think it's really important for people who don't hold queer identities to have those conversations as allies.
Talk Valentina.
Literally talk Valentina, because you need to be able to have those conversations for your friends who maybe their safety and health and well-being would be risked by having those conversations. And so if you want to be an ally and you want to protect your queer friends, sometimes you have to step in and do that.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's easy to like think, I don't come from that identity, so I don't know how to do that, or like, you know, I don't want to make a mistake, or like, you know, shouldn't this come from a person who it's their experience and they know how to talk about it? And those things are still valid and
important. There's a
time and a place. And also, if you know that you can help someone out by having those conversations, that's better than nothing. And I think that's really important to remember too, that like it's really important for people who don't, and this applies not only to the queer community, but also anyone outside of that. If you have an identity that is, you know, white, heterosexual, male, any one of these, you know, cisgender, all these things, you do have privilege. And so it's important to use that to help people who don't have that. Because I guarantee you, if you are, you know, cis, straight, white man, you know people or care about people who are not those things. And
amen.
And you need to be able to help them. And just having those people around you should not be the only reason that you do this also.
Exactly.
Because, you know, your mom is not just your mom. She's a woman. She's a person. She has autonomy. And so it's important to do the work for people.
And also just, for the sake of people.
For the sake of people, not because of your relationship
not
to them.
Not because you personally have this. I also think, this is going off of faith.
I was also have something to tag on.
Mine's really quick. I also just think it's important, just start the conversation.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We're not asking you to have all of the
you
answers.
You don't have to be perfect.
We're not asking you to know exactly what to say and to have your monologue ready. Mm-hmm. We're just saying, hey, just be ready.
Jump in.
Hey, have
be
you
ready.
Thought
stay
about
ready
this?
So you don't gotta get ready.
Hey, say something and then just walk away.
See something, say something.
Get them thinking. Get them talking. Just start it.
Just thought of this?
Just start it. You don't have to know everything.
Because I was gonna say too, it's not like the people that you can't convince, you're not going to convince them. But there's also so many people that just don't know. And as they learn and as they hear from someone like you that they can trust, they have the means to then go and talk to other people about it. There is another branch of it that, like, well, it's the white people that are taking away voting rights. And
it's the old white man.
No, I do have to say, it's okay to name the villain in this, okay? Like, white people did this and hold it up.
When they're, like, trying to stop you from voting,
suppression?
Yeah. There's also voting suppression.
Absolutely. I guess the rest of that is just that. One of my favorite quotes was from a book that I read in college, and it says, "Do not let the perfect be the enemy of the good." Okay. And I think those are words to live by.
Yeah.
We had a lot to say.
And then our software pooped out, and now we're done.
Well, add again what you were going to say about reservation stuff voter suppression.
Oh, you're right.
I think that's important.
We were talking about voter suppression, and something that I learned about, and we've known this to be terrible for so, so, so long. But I learned new things about why it's so terrible is the Native American communities and reservations in this country have been so suppressed and so oppressed for so long. But one of the ways that they are a victim of voter suppression is that there are places and reservations that don't have typical addresses, which means they cannot register to vote.
Yeah.
And that is just the most sick and twisted thing ever. And I just think in this day and age, in this age of technology, so much of our system is archaic.
The T.S. Madison thing that's like, do better, girl.
Do better, girl.
How hard is it to come up with a street name?
Yeah.
Well, no, not that. Why do we need to require that even? You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about.
No, that's fair.
Yeah, because I just think we don't need to. Like, so much of our system is automated now because of the birth of the internet. But they keep these systems so archaic, one, because they don't have enough funding. And second, because they want to keep people in the dark. They want to make it hard for people to contribute.
Well, the Heritage Foundation has $22 billion.
Exactly.
I know where we could get some money.
Absolutely. And they're kept that way on purpose. It's not because there is no money. It's because of where people are putting it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And this
the lack
is not
of
even
funds
to mention,
is not the issue.
Oh, absolutely.
It's where the funds are going.
And it's not even to mention the the military-industrial complex.
Don't get me started on the industrial complex. Also, can we talk about the new law that just passed that homeless people can be arrested now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For just
let's talk about
just
that.
Sleeping
for
outside
existing, for being homeless. Literally
for
being homeless.
One place here I have to keep off of on the internet is the news comments because so many people are just
horrible.
Homelessness is like animal pest control situation to them, which is like so gross.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely it is. And that's one of the reasons it's so disturbing is because they see it as like something they need to clean up and fix and not people who have been a victim of circumstance or, you know, events. And they don't even see it that way.
Yeah.
They don't see them as people. Mm-hmm. And that's the end
of
it.
And you know that, like, obviously California has one of the worst, you know, homelessness crises in the United States.
It's almost like it's because everyone wants to come here.
Not even wants to come here. Other states are sending people
here.
Other people are putting homeless people on buses and planes and planes and trains and automobiles.
That's where their money's going.
And they're sending them to California because they're saying California has better welfare programs. California has more homeless shelters. No, we don't.
No.
And we are also not doing well.
And
I feel
they're
like
just
the majority
here
of people here are homeless, and I know that's not true, but that's how it feels.
People are just dumped there too, though. It's like not
homeless.
Even like, oh, and we're going to take you to this place.
They get dropped in California and kicked off.
Yeah, people who don't have any, you know, mental illness support or any means of getting help.
Yes, exactly. They don't even have the access
sent
to
out
it.
Here.
Yeah.
Just dropped off on the street.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's, I mean, it's so hard to because I think you hear it a lot in food industry and places and stuff because places, any fast food restaurant, McDonald's, is going to give you a hub of some sort where you get a lot of homeless people that crowd around because they do get stuff and
there's free water in a
bathroom. There's free water, bathroom.
There's a bathroom, yeah.
And you hear so many bad things about them. And it's like, I know I have to work with them every single day.
Yeah.
But if they're not doing anything wrong, why do you want me to kick them out?
Yes.
It's such a weird dynamic that people have where they think that because they have nowhere else to go, their inconvenience is still more important.
Yeah. It's true.
Even if they don't have
People do think that.
At my job, because we're so close to the metro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of homeless people just take it as far as they can or just choose to stop and get off. And we're like a block away from the metro station. So I also probably deal with a homeless person at least like once a day.
Yeah. And it's we know we've had to deal with them. Yeah. It's hard. It's difficult. Sometimes they can be aggressive.
We deal with it firsthand. Yeah.
I deal with them every single day. And you come in and you're like, that guy over there kind of smells. Can you kick him out? Like, that's so fucked up.
I know. I took his order.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it's also like, are they hurting you by
literally
being there, by literally existing? Yeah. No. So I need you to grow up.
Yeah. Every time that I've had one bad experience, but for the most part, they come in, maybe ask for a sample of coffee, get some water, and then leave. They never stay that long. And also, one time we had somebody chilling by our bathroom for a while, and my boss came up to us and was like, hey, just so you guys know, there's somebody chilling over by the bathroom. He's not causing any problems, so just leave him alone.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
And I was like, actually.
And because like, the majority of the time,
in the AC, give them some water.
Yes. The majority of the time.
It's so hot in the summer.
It's so hot. And also, like, I just have to say that, like, although mental health is definitely an issue that is common when people become homeless, it doesn't mean that they're violent. It doesn't mean that they're crazy. Agreed. And, like, I just feel like the majority of the time, they are not out to get you.
Yeah.
They're not going to get you.
Majority of the time.
Yeah.
They're not.
Sometimes there are other factors. But, like, I don't know. I just feel like there's, as you were saying, like, people just have this terrible view of, like, what a homeless person is as an inconvenience to them. Mm-hmm. And so they also just see it as, like, oh, every homeless person is a threat to either my time or my health, my safety. Yeah. And they don't see beyond that because they just see a person who's not in their home.
Even
if they're not dangerous, they just see a homeless person and immediately, you know, instinct takes over in a really bad way.
Also, I was just going to add on to that, Faith. I think we also really forget about the implication. I don't think that's the word I was looking for.
We'll keep going and we'll find out.
What's implication mean?
It's like implying something.
Okay, whatever. We also forget about the fact that I'm sure a lot of these mental health issues arise from being homeless.
Yes. That's true.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah. Absolutely.
There's the factor that maybe you have problems to begin with and you end up on the street.
Already so hard getting mental health accessibility when you have a home.
Not having shelter.
It's already so hard to get.
You're a perfectly mentally healthy, perfect person and you go bankrupt. You're on the street.
Yeah.
How long is it going to take for you to not feel mentally okay?
Yeah.
Not that long.
Not long. Don't you know how I don't know what the percentage is. I don't remember, but I remember reading the statistic of like how close most Americans are to homelessness. And it's like a paycheck or two, honestly.
It's a medical bill.
You are always going to be closer
one single medical bill
to homelessness than you are to a billionaire.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're always going to be closer to the people on the streets.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. Really.
Also, I was going to say that's also a big reason. We don't have to dive into this, but we can.
We can.
We're diving. But also when we add drugs into the picture.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. How many days on the streets is it going to take for you to be like, maybe I'm not feeling okay. Let's just see what everybody else is doing.
And then
like, it's not
the thing,
hard.
Too, is that homelessness and drug abuse isn't a police enforcement. It's not like.
Yeah.
It's criminalizing. It's not worth criminalizing.
It should not be criminalized in any way, especially because
all of these issues are social problems.
They're social issues. And let's say you're going to arrest somebody on a drug related charge. Let's say it's like, you know, you're under the influence doing something. The odds are that a person who's being arrested for the way that they behave under the influence of something may be addicted to that substance. Mm-hmm. And that is not something that you should be criminalized because they are not going to get better through going to jail. No one is going. Also, incarceration.
Yeah.
I made
a big deal about the military industrial complex, but my heart is with the prison industrial complex. That drives me up a wall.
I feel like
I've watched several documentaries about it.
Yeah.
And by several, I mean maybe I watched one.
I've seen at least two or three.
I've seen parts of a documentary, for sure. The prison industrial complex is, I think, one of the worst things about America.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It is terrible, and it is so highly funded, and we have thousands and thousands of people incriminated for what?
It's hideously terrible. It's hideously awful.
Too hard to get any getting help for any health is too difficult. We don't have the money for that. Nope. We don't have the money to give people housing and food. But the prison complex?
Lock them up. Yeah. And we're going to pay for them to all have, three meals a day and all their education and their health. And let me say this. They should have those things. And so should everybody else.
And also,
not only are we locking them up and we're going to give them money this way, we're also going to make them work for cents.
Yeah, we're actually going to enslave them.
Labor.
Yes. Absolutely, because that's allowed.
Don't know, the prison industrial complex often gives prisoners fake jobs and say, hey, you can earn a paycheck, and when you get out of jail, we're going to give you this paycheck, right? They end up earning 50 cents an hour, maybe less.
Mm-hmm. Not even, cents on the dollar.
The United States also is funding the prison complex so much because of slave labor.
Yep, it's slave labor. Because
they think, it costs less to keep them in this cage and feed them than it does to just pay a worker a healthy salary.
And yet there's more African Americans in prison than white people when there's not even half as many African Americans in the population
of the United States. Because they criminalize things that they see as things that black people do.
Policing black neighborhoods. Let's get into it. Stay in black neighborhoods.
They do.
Because they think that they are criminals. Mm-hmm. They sit on that corner and wait for anything to happen.
They wait for somebody to do something that they could pretend is a crime.
Yes.
They think, I'm so glad I'm here. And here we go.
Yeah.
No, if you're wherever you're sitting, wherever that police is going is where the crime is going to happen.
Yep. Yep.
So black neighborhoods have higher crime rates because they have more policing.
Yep.
But our president.
But Mr. Joe.
Finally.
I can't.
Crazy.
He's a sick man, to be honest. I can't. ACAB.
And then ACAB. Donald Trump gets immunity from his crime.
No, that man should be rotting in jail.
Joe Biden is doing...
jail so great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You're funding these jails so good. Yeah. I bet you would love to go to one, actually.
That's convicted the new club felon who's immune. We have Joe Biden doing war crimes, funding war crimes.
Yep. Finding them and participating in. And then a convicted felon because he smoked marijuana once. Can't vote.
Yeah. So
isn't that
crazy?
Just
nobody
shit?
Should be in prison.
The
for
real
me.
Ghetto nope. is in the rich, high, white class.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
White, high class.
Yep.
That's where the people are stealing,
That's
doing
where the people
drugs,
are criminals.
Murdering.
Yep.
And abusing women.
Yep.
You know, we don't need to take zoology classes. We need to take political science.
Well,
classes.
That's
we
the
need
thing.
To go and fight for people. Because
girl, I got that.
Back
I got
to
that.
The whole you can only do what you can do, and remembering
No, let's back to square one. Let's come full circle.
That point, because I wanted to say this earlier. I want to take zoology classes because in the midst of all this, it's Earth, and we need to preserve
it
and stuff. But animals not
it's
having
major.
A voice.
Period.
It's conservatory.
Conservation.
Conservation.
I didn't remember that word either.
No, because I was my friend does work at a conservatory, so you're on the right path.
Yes, conservation is, this is why I, follow them, and, I want to give them my money and give
Absolutely.
Those businesses.
Those are important things.
Well, also, knowing
that's,
that...
that's, my little way of, helping.
And I love that.
And there's no one way to help out.
Yeah. Yes.
So, Thomas was saying, his big thing is, animals fighting for animal justice and help and
or
stuff.
Or, giving money to sanctuaries.
Majored in environmental science with a emphasis on political science, right? Or
policy and administration was my official
And also, there's
emphasis.
You can be a voice of reason and hope in any space that you enter.
Yes.
Right?
It's true.
And I was saying earlier, I'm getting really big into the eco-friendly stuff too, which is along the same lines as Thomas. But no matter what job, what area of your life, who you're talking to, it's just important to bring these conversations to life.
It's really important.
That doesn't mean that you need to go back to
school
like I
you
said
don't need
right
a degree
now.
For this.
You actually
don't,
don't
need a degree.
You know, to show up in your community and to vote.
Some people with degrees are stupider than you.
Yes. Yes.
I really needed to get that out.
Yes, it's so true.
Okay, I'm going to end with a few quotes.
All right,
okay, so
given to us.
That were along lines of what we said. I'm just going to repeat, okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm. There is no ethical consumption under capitalism.
Yep.
Okay, think about that. Marinate on it. Make it your wallpaper.
Yep. I need that on a t-shirt.
new Green Tea Podcast merch coming out soon. nobody should be in prison for weed.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Quotable quotes.
I don't know. That's what all I got. Do not
let the, I have one. Go I'm going to repeat mine, which was, do not let perfect be the enemy of the good.
Yes. Amen. That was a good one.
You got to start where you can.
Aww.
All right.
Thomas, can you
this
you
went such I could not have anticipated this.
I know I started with what's your favorite color? And that's why nobody should be in prison for a week.
Yep.
I feel like I haven't been like not
decriminalize
talking,
homelessness.
But I feel like I've been boring because I don't have anything else going on in my life. But this is all I've been like looking
still,
at thinking
yeah.
about and talking
yeah.
about.
I feel like the thing is, this is maybe very par for the course for us actually, because when you think about it, we just talk about what's going on in our lives and we catch up with each other and we talk about things we're interested in and we talk about something that we just heard about. So this is exactly
And with a new electric cycle
doing,
coming up.
That's not boring.
It's bringing a lot of, which is crazy because we're like 25 now. We're learning so much and we're like bringing everything that we've learned in the past, and it's kind of like cool to see us doing our thing even though we're just still young babies.
Absolutely.
Still young babies.
Still young babies.
Yeah.
And even babies younger than us, you know, I feel like I have a lot of confidence in.
And I don't
know?
Yeah, and also I think that like the title of this podcast is going to be like politics, the prison industrial and white chocolate
to be
that's going to be like the title. Okay, but I also just want to say that like this, we did not come into this podcast thinking like this is what we're going to talk about today. These are the points
this
down.
Isn't our agenda. This is our life.
This is a normal conversation.
And
we
I'll
will sit around my pool and we will talk about
prison
and we'll talk about politics and we'll talk about religion and we'll talk about drugs and we'll talk about everything. Like it's so important to be having conversations with friends like what we're doing.
And just earlier when we were saying this too, we had every time we start hanging out, like before we record, we start talking about stuff inevitably because that's just
what
we do.
We are
and
yappers.
Then we're like, no, save it for the podcast. No, don't tell me about it. We'll say it on the podcast. And so today we had done that like a bunch of times and I was like, oh my God, should I write down some of the things? And Rose was like, no, it has to be organic. And look what
and
came from that.
And also me on my organic.
And can I say we're right this time?
Also me buying all organic.
Consistently organic.
And also let's talk about pesticides and farmers like Faith said earlier. Next week.
Next week
on the Green Tea Podcast. Where we investigate the FDA.
The FDA, the DEA, and the IRS.
Yes.
Next week we deep dive
and then
into
the FBI
pesticides.
Investigates us because we said we were going to assassinate Trump.
Literally.
Well, Faith, you
no,
have a lot
we
to
said
cut
Joe
out.
Biden should. I didn't say that. I said Joe Biden should.
Got it. So catch us when we join the FBI in their investigation into Joe Biden.
With Joe Biden on the podcast next week.
Oh, man. Okay.
Gosh. Okay, thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Please let us know your thoughts. This would be a really fun episode to hear what y'all think.
Yeah. I have thoughts on telling you guys what we should do with the episode after this.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thoughts on your things.
Love to hear.
DM us and let us know what you're talking about and what you're thinking about.
Yeah. Send $5 to like an organization that you're really fighting for.
Put your money where your mouth
for.
Is.
Thomas,
absolutely.
That's a really good
idea. $5, like, bro.
If you're hearing
you
this,
you got $5.
Yeah.
Donate $5.
I know
to
you have $5. Bucks.
An organization of your choice.
Yep.
And if you don't have $5, make someone else donate $5.
Period.
Okay, we love
you. We should
you.
Do that too.
Bye. Yeah.
Love you.
All right. Bye. Love you.